Hey, this is Leo for actualized.org. In this video, I want to talk about why you really need to stop demonizing others. We're going to start off this video with an exercise. And you're going to do the exercise now, then I'm going to talk. And then at the very end of the video, I'm going to tell you how to actually use this exercise and get a lot of value out of it. So here's the exercise. In a second, I'm going to pause the video. I'm going to have a blank screen for you. You're going to pause the video, and then you're going to do this. You're going to get a piece of paper. On the top of this piece of paper, you're going to write, the three people I despise the most are, and then you're going to write 1, 2, 3. And you're going to write down the names of the three people that you despise the most in your life. By despise, I mean you really don't like them. They really gall you. Maybe you openly despise them. Maybe you kind of secretly despise them and you don't really even admit to yourself that you despise this person. Maybe you tell yourself that you're a person that doesn't think that other people are despicable, that you like everybody. Well, I'm going to tell you that you should be really self-honest on this exercise and really dig deep and see, who are the people out there in your life that really gall you? You're going to pick three people. Now, a lot of times when I say this, people will go and pick the obvious, most obvious examples of evil people like Hitler and Osama bin Laden as people they despise. I'd say stay away from those for now. Instead, focus on people you know a little bit more intimately. These can be people that you know personally from your family life or your friends or your colleagues at work or your boss. Or it could be a celebrity that perhaps you kind of follow, but you kind of despise, or maybe a pundit on TV or something like that, or maybe a person throughout history. But just don't go with the most obvious examples. I want you to really be accurate here. After you write down these three names, what you're going to do is you're going to write down also one quality for each of these people that is the despicable quality that you really don't like about them. So, each name, one quality. That's the exercise. Go ahead, do it right now. Pull out a piece of paper. All right? Pause the video now. All right. Welcome back. So if you've done that exercise, good. Now put it off to the side. You're going to pull it out at the end of this video, and I'm going to tell you what to do with it. Let me talk, though, about demonizing other people. This is something that I see that I find extremely, extremely ugly. People demonizing other people. And this is something you see a lot more often than you think you would see it. And you do this too, which is the relevance of this video to you. So it's not that other people do it, you do it. You know, it's interesting. In 10th grade, I had one of the hardest classes that I ever took in my entire schooling career. And that was AP European History. And there I had a teacher who was a real kind of hard-ass, hard-nosed teacher and really expected a lot of us. And we worked really hard throughout the entire year just preparing for the AP exam. And I struggled the most in that class. But I also learned the most in that class. And one of the things I really learned in that class is my love for knowledge and my love for philosophy. That's what I developed there. At the very end of the class, after we'd got done with all the tests and stuff, we got a little time to relax, and we were just sitting in a circle, and the teacher would ask us questions, and we'd go around in a circle, and the entire class, all 30 of us or so, would answer one by one, and we would go around and around and around asking different questions, and in this way, we'd get to know everybody a little bit better. And one of the questions he asked that I can remember to this day, which was a very profound question, he asked, what's the most ugliest thing you've ever seen? And we went around the circle, and when it got to me, I said, conformity. At that point, I recognized the kind of evils and dangers of conformity. But I think that now, when I think about that question, I'd have to say that even more uglier than conformity is the demonization of other people that I see out there. To me, this is one of the ugliest things about human beings and about society and about the way that human beings behave when they are in a group. This happens because of fundamentally closed-mindedness and lack of self-honesty. So in this video, we're going to go in and we're going to talk about where the self-dishonesty is exactly. And we're going to try to open your mind And open-mindedness, it might sound like an kind of a abstract woo-woo kind of concept, but I think that open-mindedness is one of the most important things that people are missing, which is preventing them from doing the higher levels of personal development work that they need to do. So this is very much important for you to start to take this abstract notion and start to actually say, oh, this is actually important to my life. This actually affects the results that I get in my life. So people love to demonize people. And the question is, why? Why do people love to demonize other people so much? Before I answer that, let's give a little taste of what we mean by demonization and who demonizes whom. So, you know, very common to demonize dictators and bad leaders throughout history, politicians and such. So Hitler, Saddam Hussein, Osama bin Laden, George Bush, Barack Obama, or in whatever country you're living in, you know, the leaders there that you may not like, or the opposition party that you may not like. So that's extremely common. Also common to demonize, and this is a little bit more closer to home, is parents, siblings, spouses, and girlfriends and boyfriends. Very, very common to demonize the other person in this kind of relationship when you're not able to get along with them. Another category that's really popular is demonizing thinkers, philosophers, and religious leaders. You can be demonizing the person themselves, or you can also demonize their ideas. You can demonize a whole school of thought. You can demonize an entire religion. So this is really common. If you're a student of history, you know that this goes all the way back. Basically, all of history is kind of like an object lesson in demonization as far as thinkers and philosophers and religions and ideas go. Also, a little bit more closer to home to me is demonization that happens on the internet. This is super, super common, demonization on the internet. So YouTube comments, people demonizing each other in YouTube comments, but that's just a specific case of the more general problem, people demonizing each other through internet forums and discussions that are happening online is extremely common. What happens with demonization is that you create this separation fundamentally between you and the other person. And basically, when you're demonizing someone, you're making a judgment and you're pointing at that person, you're saying that that person is evil. But for a true demonization to happen, not only are you pointing your finger at that person saying that person is evil, but you're also denying the fact that this is a personal judgment of yours. So when you really, really believe that someone is evil, and you don't even want to entertain the possibility that that is false, then that is what demonization is. That's my definition of it. Here's a truth that I want to tell you. If you demonize anyone ever in your life, if you find yourself doing this, then you are definitely in the wrong. You, right? Not the other person, but you are in the wrong. The evil actually is within you, not that other person. Now, that person might have done something despicable, so I'm not saying anything about that. But what's more important is what you're doing that's despicable. Now, you might say, but no, that person did something really, really despicable, and that's what the argument is about. No. The problem is not the other person. The problem is you. And it's you who's doing the despicable thing. And what you're not recognizing there is actually you're behaving like that person, if they are, in fact, despicable. What you're doing in these situations is you're very subtly, this is a very subtle self-manipulation that you do, is that you're acting to preserve your own ego. The really fundamental problem with demonization is that we have this reality that we live in. This, you might call it a physical reality. We live in this. And this reality is very neutral and devoid of meaning and any kind of human additions that we make to it. But what we do is we go around and we slap labels on things. We slap labels on objects and people and situations. And even ourselves, we're always slapping labels on things, and we do this with thoughts, with thinking. And so with thoughts, we slap these labels on, and what we're doing is we're augmenting reality. We're going around, we're augmenting reality, and we're living in a very, very augmented reality, which is happening here. Not in some computer science fiction, but in here, in your mind, you're doing this. But the problem is that you forget that you do this. You don't admit that you do this. And then you take these augmentations to be the reality itself. And you take them very seriously. And what this does is this creates a lot of problems for you down the road. Why does this create problems? Well, because you end up living in a fantasy of your own creation without understanding that you're living in a fantasy. And you confuse this fantasy with the reality. And this creates a lot of your emotional suffering in life. So people who demonize other people, you might notice that these people, these generally aren't happy people. It's not possible for them to be happy because they're living a falsehood. And this one particular person that they demonize, that's just one manifestation of how they approach life. To demonize someone successfully, you have to augment reality with your own labels. Then you have to convince yourself that these labels are actually true when in fact they're not. And so this can only happen when you're behaving unconsciously. When you're not really aware of what's going on, you're not aware of the manipulation that's happening on the inside, you manipulating yourself, you lying to yourself, you kind of cheating yourself. And so this creates a really fundamental problem in the way that you interact with all of reality. And you might think that, oh, well, it doesn't really matter in this case. You know, I think that Hitler is evil and what's wrong with that? But actually, this is, like I said, this is just like a one symptom of a much deeper problem. The other thing is that when you separate yourself from this other person that you're demonizing, is that you're not able to learn from that other person. Because usually the reason that you demonize someone in the first place is because you actually want to keep from looking at what is there in reality. It's like a corner of reality that you don't want to face. And so what you say to yourself and to others is that you point your finger at that person and say, you say, that person is evil. And in so doing, you create this wall and you basically say to yourself, I don't have to really examine that person, his actions, or that corner of reality. I basically just kind of block it out. I ignore it. And I just say to myself, that's purely evil. There's nothing to be learned there. There's no reasoning there. There's no valid arguments, no valid points there. It's just pure evil. You see politicians doing this sometimes. It helps them to avoid actually having intelligent, rational argument about a particular situation. Because if someone wants to ram a policy issue down your throat, the best way to do it is just to say, oh, the other opposition party is totally evil. And what I'm saying is just correct, right? It avoids having a debate. It avoids having to actually make nuanced distinctions. And it basically relieves you of the burden of having to seriously consider some other position. Why do people do this? Well, because when you have to take into account corners of reality that you haven't taken into account before, that can be a strenuous and emotionally challenging thing to wrestle with in your mind. You have cognitive dissonance. Personally, in my own life, I love the feeling of cognitive dissonance. Cognitive dissonance is the psychological term for when your model of reality comes into contact with actual facts in reality or some other, you know, potential model of reality. And basically the two are contradictory and you can't figure out how the two can fit together. And so what starts to happen is that in your mind, you suddenly start to question your own model of reality. And when this happens, you usually become afraid. You can become angry, you can feel hurt. But this doesn't happen consciously, it kind of happens subconsciously. You don't tell yourself that you're angry because your model of reality isn't accurate in this case. And so what happens is that you kind of just shut down and you turn your head the other way and you don't want to look. To me, I've always loved the feeling of cognitive dissonance. And I think that's one of the powers that I have is the ability to go in there and look at something and say, oh, this doesn't match with what I've got. That's cool. I like that. Because then I can go in and I can say to myself, oh, how can I retool my model of reality to match the facts a little bit better? Or how can I retool my model so that it fits with that model? Or maybe I can throw my entire model out and take on the other model. But see, what I see people doing is I see people not wanting to do this in general. I would say that 99% of people in society do not like this. And they always stick their head in the sand like an ostrich when it comes to this cognitive dissonance. And so they're not learning from examples from other people. And this keeps them from really honestly looking inside themselves. And this keeps their ego alive. This keeps their ego going. And this creates more and more problems for them down the road. And these problems are so subtle that you don't recognize that these problems are stemming from this lack of open-mindedness. and from this demonization that you do. By the way, it's different. Let's make a distinction. It's different to demonize someone and to disagree with them. So I'm not saying that you can't disagree with people. It's okay to say that someone is wrong. Someone can be factually wrong. You know, someone can say that when you drop an apple, gravity's going to pull it up instead of down. Now, that would be factually wrong, and we can disagree with them on that. That's fine. The difference is when you demonize someone is you call the person evil, or you call their ideas evil. So let's make that distinction clear. Also, let's make a little distinction here. I want to draw a spectrum for you between different kind of like levels of judgment and acceptance. So on the very far end of the spectrum, the spectrum that you don't want to be at, the part of the spectrum you don't want to be at, is demonization. This is when you do full-on proper demonization, when you are calling someone evil and you believe that they're actually evil in reality. Then you can move a little bit closer to the better side of the spectrum, towards the middle of the spectrum. This is what I call judgment, the judgment area. So this is demonization area, this is the judgment area. In the judgment area, this is where you simply make kind of more casual everyday judgments. Most of us do this 100 times a day. We might see a person, we might think they're ugly. We might see us, you know, read an idea in a book and say that it's a stupid idea. And we're making judgments there. That's also an augmentation. They're not as strong as demonization because usually when you're making a judgment, you, in the back of your mind at least, you kind of recognize that your judgment, it's not like set in stone. You kind of understand that, well, I mean, it's my opinion in this case, right? I don't like this idea. Maybe somebody else likes this idea. Okay, I think that person's ugly. Maybe somebody else thinks that person's beautiful. Whatever. So you make these judgments, and these judgments, make no mistake, they also create lots of problems in your life. I've got other videos that talk about that. You can see my judgment video on that. But, you know, still much better. Why is it much better? Because you're a little bit more open-minded to your judgments changing. You might say, well, I have this one judgment here. Maybe I'll change that. Maybe a couple years later, I'll think that this belief that I read in a book or this theory that I read might actually be true. Okay. Your judgment's a little bit more flexible. And then you move to this very end, this far end of the spectrum over here. And when you do that, you come to acceptance. Acceptance is the accepting of reality exactly as it is, without augmenting it in any way with your own labels. Without deluding yourself that these labels are real, which is what you do even when you judge stuff. When you judge stuff, you still tell yourself that the thing you're judging, that this judgment is actually a part of reality. That's why you feel bad when you see something ugly or you see something in your life that you don't like. You judge that you don't like it. You judge a certain situation as being bad for you. And so you resist it all the time. The acceptance part of the spectrum is when you accept everything exactly as it is. And as you can probably tell, very few people have the psychology that can allow them to do this because this allows complete openness of mind. You have to be able to accept all of reality, not just the parts of reality that you like personally. And that's really what's happening here when you're creating these separations between you and other people and other things through judgments and through demonization, is that fundamentally you're carving out aspects of reality that you like and you're separating them and you're kind of pitting them against aspects of reality that you don't like. Personally, right? You're just one organism in this larger universe. And so just because you don't like a particular thing doesn't really say much about reality itself. Just because you don't like something doesn't mean that somebody else needs to agree with you on that. Just because you don't like something or you think something is bad or evil doesn't make it actually so. And this is a distinction that you have to draw in your mind. But it takes a lot of intellectual honesty and self-honesty to admit this. It already requires a lot of openness of mind to admit this. And a lot of people don't want to go there. So someone like Hitler, you might say, but Leo, what about someone like Hitler? Isn't this person truly evil? Aren't they truly evil? Like, I understand, Leo. I understand that sometimes we go overboard and we judge people, and I do it too. Sure, I'll admit that. But you have to admit, Leo, that some people are just truly evil. And what I'm telling you in this video is no, I'm not going to admit that. And in fact, what you need to do is you need to come around and see that that's not the case at all. The people that you think are truly evil are not really that. That's a judgment you make. That's a judgment you make based on certain beliefs you have, certain preferences you have. Even your position in this world as a life form, as a human being, already predisposes you to think that certain things are evil and certain things are not evil. Anything that threatens your life, you automatically tend to label as evil. But if you think about it more objectively, what does that have to do with reality itself? What does reality care? What does the universe care about your life? It really doesn't care much about it at all. So something that threatens your life, on a social level, we'll say, okay, that's evil. And on a personal level, you'll say, okay, yeah, I definitely don't want that in my life. I don't want to get killed. That would be a bad thing. But you have to recognize that this is a subjective judgment, right? You recognize that this is a subjective judgment. Even in the most heinous crime that you could imagine, which you would say Hitler is a heinous criminal, you still have to see the larger picture of it, that in the really big picture, in the ultimate objective picture, actions are never good or evil. Actions are simply actions. They are exactly what they are without your addition of judgment on top of them. The addition of judgment, you can see, it happens in your mind. You can actually sit down and notice the judgment happening. It's a story that's being told in your mind. It's a story. A lot of people get offended by this when they hear this, oh, Hitler, but Hitler's evil. How can you say he's not evil? It takes a big and open mind to be able to reason about these things objectively. One little clue that you can use, and you can use as a rule of thumb as you go through life and develop yourself, is that in any situation where you get easily offended, that's weakness of mind on your part. That's a smallness of mind on your part. That's not the situation's problem. That's not my problem. That's your problem if you get offended. Because getting offended, what that means is that you're upset about reality being other than the way that you want it to be. You want to live in a fantasy, but then you come in contact with reality and reality is different than a fantasy. So you tell yourself that, oh, but Hitler's truly evil. No, see, Hitler is a part of reality. You want to deny this, that this part of reality exists, and you want this part of reality to not exist. You want it to not have existed. It exists. It existed in the past. Now, you can say it shouldn't have existed. We can have a whole long debate about that. And I would agree with you, and I'd say, yeah, it's probably a good idea that it didn't exist. Nevertheless, it existed. So it doesn't really matter what you think about reality. Reality could go exactly opposite to everything that you want it to be like. You can live a life where everything against you, everything is against you, everything wrong happens to you. But that wrongness is still happening from your point of view. In a larger point of view, there's no wrongness being done. It's just life living itself. Who are you to say how life is supposed to run? Very arrogant of you to presume that you know the right way for life to run. And isn't it interesting that when you have ideas about how life should run, it's always about you. Always about you. It's always about how your life can be a little bit sweeter, how your life can be a little bit richer, a little bit more secure, a little bit more comfortable, a little bit nicer. How convenient of you to expect that reality should conform itself to what you desire and to what feels nice to you. So we have to get very real about this stuff, right? We have to get real about this stuff, that when you're demonizing other people, what you're really doing is you're blocking off parts of reality. And this is a deep mistake, because reality is actually neutral. Your mind creates this separation because at the very bottom of it, at the very root of it, you need to feel like an entity, like a self. And so to feel more like a self, what you do is you construct enemies around you in the environment. You construct problems. You do this not only with people, but you do this with situations too. Is you construct these enemies and these problems and these challenges because you feel like there's something here that needs to be protected. This is what we call the ego or the self. You right now. You can point your finger at you. Go ahead and nod your head right now. Nod your head. That's you. That's what I'm talking about. That entity that you think is experiencing life, that owns this life of yours, this entity feels like it needs to be protecting itself all the time. It needs to feel real. It needs to feel solid. Now you might say, well, Leo, feel solid. It's already solid. Why would it need to feel solid? Now, this is a very deep point that I'm going to cover in other videos, especially my spiritual alignment video. But actually, at the very center of it, it's hollow. It's an illusion, this sense of self. It feels extremely real. It feels extremely solid. But actually, it's a hollow illusion. To keep this hollow illusion from unraveling itself, what happens is that more and more layers of ego get layered on top. And these layers are extremely tricky and self-deceptive. And so in practice, what this means is that you go through your life creating separations so that you can feel like you're in a fight to survive life, so that you're in survival mode. When you're in survival mode, what that does to your ego is it makes the ego feel alive and it makes the ego feel real. Even if it's a negative situation, even if you're scared or threatened or angry, you might say, but Leo, I don't want that in my life. Actually, on some level, you do want that in your life, because what it does is it creates a stronger sense of self. You feel alive when you do that. And you feel significant. You feel like a somebody. It builds up your story of self that you've been building up your entire life. What would happen if we removed that story entirely and we shattered it to pieces? You don't want to consider that possibility, because if you actually sit down and seriously consider that possibility, it's going to scare you shitless. Because you don't know what life would be like without you. You don't imagine this is possible or desirable. And so what you do is you cling to your ego, you attach yourself to certain situations in life, and you also deny other situations in life, and you demonize people. That's where the demonization comes from. And you create enemies, and you point your finger at situations and people out in life, and you make enemies of them. Because what it does is it actually allows you to create a partition this way. See, because the evil that you actually sense in those people, if you think Hitler is evil, the evil you sense in him, that's actually an evil within you. You understand that? That's an evil within you because you're feeling it, right? It's in your mind. It's happening in your mind. But to deny that, what you do is you point your finger at him and you externalize it. You project it on to something out there. And you say, me, I'm here. Hitler's over there. And there's a separation between us. And so what he is not part of me. But actually what he is you. But see, you're denying this. You're not accepting this. You're not allowing this. This is intolerable because your worldview doesn't allow for this possibility. Your worldview is based around your entire ego. And your worldview is based around the idea that you're a separate entity from the rest of reality, which just turns out to be a complete falsehood. And so you're living in falsehood all the time. And you might wonder at this point, well, Leo, this is getting very deep and profound, but how does this connect to my everyday existence? Well, you're living this falsehood all the time. You're not accepting reality as it is. You can't even sit down right now and be happy in the moment. If I tell you to sit right now and close your eyes and just sit in silence for 10 minutes, you're not going to be able to do it. You're not going to be happy. You're going to be frustrated. You're going to be agitated. Why is this the case? Because the ego, it needs to be in motion all the time. It's like a shark. If it's not swimming through water, it's going to suffocate and die. It needs to be swimming to oxygenate itself. So motion needs to be created. Separation needs to be created. Enemies need to be created. Problems need to be created. Because of this, you can't just sit and be inside of reality as it is. Look, reality is exactly the way it is right now. No matter what you think about it, what you like about it, what you don't like about it, whether it's favorable to you, whether it's not favorable to you, whether your life is in danger or it's not in danger, that doesn't matter on the grand scale of things, because that's reality. Right? We live in a reality where your life can be in danger. We live in a reality where you can die tomorrow. That's just reality. We live in a reality where there are murderers, where there are rapists. We live in a reality where there's a charity being done, where there's acts of kindness. We live in a reality where there's acts of hatred. We live in a reality where we have acts of terrorism. We live in a reality where we have ignorance and bigotry and racism. We live in a reality where we have scientific advancements. We live in a reality where we have lies and falsehoods. We live in a reality where we have countries like the United States and European countries, Western countries that are advanced. We live in a reality where we have very underdeveloped countries and very kind of countries that are still stuck in the dark ages, like North Korea or certain countries in the Middle East, in that part of the world. We live in a world where, in a reality where we have poverty and also extreme richness and extreme abundance. So we have all these, you know, all these kind of polar opposites and all these extremes within reality. And that's just a part of reality. Now, what you want to do is you want to say, but all this stuff on this side, all the poverty and all the rape and all the murder and all the genocide, all of that, that's evil. But to say that, you need to say that that's a part of reality that I don't want. You're trying to live in a fantasy, not into the real reality. Because of this, you're not literally able to just sit and be happy. Because there's always something about reality that you wish was otherwise. You see that? This is very deep. And it doesn't just apply to extreme situations like genocide and rape and murder and stuff. But it applies to the things that are happening in your day-to-day existence. So tomorrow you're going to wake up and things are going to be happening in your life that you wish weren't there. You wish you didn't get that email. You wish your boss didn't yell at you. You wish your wife was a little nicer to you. You wish your husband would kiss you in the morning or at night. You wish all these things. See, but what you're doing there is you're living a fantasy. Because of this, you can't sit and be happy because there's always some thing that you wish would come in and secure your happiness. Well, that's never going to happen. Never going to happen. You have to start to understand that these enemies that you're creating out of your husband, out of your girlfriend, out of your boyfriend, out of a political figure, whoever, or even out of impersonal situations in life, right? With your money problems, with your bankruptcy, with your business problems or whatever, that these are internal enemies that you are externalizing to prevent yourself from doing the real inner work of looking inside. And this is why this is the ugliest thing. Ugly is a judgment. This is why this is the ugliest thing that I've seen. Because it's because people demonize. And it's because people are closed-minded. And it's because people judge. They keep themselves in an unconscious cycle. And they're never able to develop themselves above all these problems. Because if you develop yourself long enough, what you recognize is that these problems were all created in your mind, and these problems can dissolve. That's the positive message here. It might sound like everything I'm saying is being depressing, because I'm forcing you to accept a reality which to you seems negative. But actually, when you accept all of reality, you don't see it as accepting the negative, evil aspects of reality. What you do is you remove the distinction between good and evil entirely. And contrary to what you think right now, when you remove that distinction, what happens is that actually all of reality becomes sweet. Even what you think right now is as evil and as despicable to you, you open yourself up to it, and it actually isn't as despicable and sour tasting as you thought it was. And at that point, when you do that, when you move totally to acceptance, you might think, Leo, I don't want to be totally at acceptance. Well, you don't want to be because right now you're unconscious. When you actually develop a little bit of consciousness, you realize, I want to be at acceptance. Why do I want to be at acceptance? Because I want to be happy no matter what life is doing. I can't really control life. A lot of stuff in life happens outside of my control. So what I can do, though, is I can strengthen myself enough to literally be happy with whatever is going on. But to do that, I need an extreme openness of mind. And I need to stop demonizing other people and other situations. And I need to take responsibility for the inner demons that I have rather than projecting them all out into the world. What do you think terrorism is about? Where do you think terrorism comes from? It comes from a demonization. And where do you think the other side, right? European governments, American governments, the wars that are created there, all this tension happening with terrorism and stuff, where do you think that's coming from? That's also coming from the demonization, right? You might say, but terrorists are really evil. The people who are against the terrorists are also evil. Why are they also evil? Because they're projecting their demons out into the terrorists. They're not facing them on the inside. And this is a big problem. This is a big problem for you personally in your life, but see, your personal problems also expand out and create all the social problems that we have. So all the social problems we have, they come from this problem of demonization that we've been talking about here and this closed-mindedness. All right, so in wrapping this up, let's get back to that exercise that you did. What I want you to do now I want you to take out that piece of paper. Those three people that you despise. And at the top of the paper, you had written something like, these are the three people that I despise the most. I want you to cross that whole phrase out right now with a pen. And I want you to write, these are the people and qualities that I will work to accept and to integrate into my life. These are the people and qualities that I will work to accept and integrate into my life. And then your job is to work to integrate this into your worldview, because right now your worldview is disintegrated. Disintegrated. Parts of reality, that means that parts of reality are being denied. So start accepting those parts of reality that you've been denying, even if it doesn't feel pleasant to you right now to do it. All right, this is Leo. I'm signing off. I'm going to give a credit to Evan Pagan for this exercise. That's where I got it from, one of his seminars. And I believe he might have gotten it from Nathaniel Brandon, who wrote Six Pillars of Self-Esteem, but I'm not quite sure on that one. Go ahead, leave me your comments down below. It's kind of a controversial video. I'd like to hear what you guys think. Click the like button, share this video, post it on Facebook. And finally, come and sign up to my newsletter right here at actualize.org. Click this button, sign up to my newsletter. A lot of free goodies and exclusive videos that you can get there. I'm going to have more content coming out for my subscribers. It's all free. You should sign up because I'm really curious and interested about going deeper and deeper in these topics. As my videos, you know, I've already released close to 200 videos. As I keep releasing more, at this point, I'm getting into deeper and deeper topics of personal development. And we're going to go really, really deep. If you're fascinated by this stuff, if you're fascinated by philosophy, if you're fascinated by how human beings work, how they think, why we have all these problems in our lives, collectively, but also personally, how you can get your own life into shape, you want to stick around. So sign up right now.